Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm glad to have with me for the first time Ian Klassen. He's the president and CEO of GMV Minerals. Ian has over 25 years of experience in public company management, public relations, government affairs. He's been an entrepreneur with extensive experience in administration, finance, government, legislative policy, media relationship strategies, and project management. And in addition to his role as president and CEO of GMV Minerals, Ian also sits on the board of directors of several private and public companies. And prior to his management activities within private and public companies, Ian held a variety of positions within federal Canadian politics, including senior political advisor to the Minister of State for Transportation and chief of staff office of the Speaker of the Canadian House of Commons. So obviously, Ian has a very impressive background. He's a highly regarded Canadian citizen. So I'm really happy to welcome you, Ian. Thanks for joining me today.
Well, hi, Jay. Thank you. It's very good to be with you and your listeners.
Always good to have a CEO of a company that I like, that I own, and also as a recommendation in my own newsletter. I must have to give some credit to Eric Coffin, my good friend, who does some great work and writes a wonderful newsletter in terms of the resource sector for sure. And Eric, well, I know he has a very high opinion of you. I've also known Dr. David Webb for a number of years, who I know is one of your key technical people there. But I'm really glad that you could join me today. Before we get started, I should mention that GMV Minerals trades in Toronto under the symbol GMV. You can buy it in the United States, as I have, under the symbol GMVMF. 32.4 million shares is all there is outstanding now. 35 cents Canadian, the last I looked, gives it a market cap of around 11.3 million in Canadian money, or 8.5 million in U.S. dollars. Well, Ian, given your background, and you certainly most could have a job, I think, with a lot of different Canadian companies. Can you talk a little bit about how you came to head up GMV Minerals, and then maybe a little bit about the company's evolution to the point where it is now with its flagship property, the Mexican Hat project in southeastern Arizona?
You bet, Jay. And thank you for touching upon backgrounds with Eric and David. Both are extraordinary. They don't suffer fools. They know exactly what they're doing, and I've known both for probably approaching 20 years. So when they pay attention to what we're doing, and Dave, who's internal with us, we're in good shape going forward. As you mentioned, I had a role in Canadian federal politics. You know, I see that as a helpful thing in this sometimes cynical junior exploration sector. Mm-hmm. Not only did it help build a bit of a thick hide for me, but it's also a pretty good foundation for a decent business network. But mm-hmm. in terms of GMV, and after some time in working in some difficult conditions in South America, facing a multi-year turndown in our market, it just reinforced our desire and importance to focus on a project in a mining-friendly jurisdiction, you know, an area where the rule of law applies, no extra impediments like a foreign language to have to work with or odd legal nuances that apply. So in 2014, we were delighted to turn our attention to Arizona. We knew the Mexican Hat Gold Project. It was one that Placer Dome USA discovered and spent a number of years working on. We liked its pedigree. Felt that with a variety of new advancements since they worked on the property in geophysics and various other aspects of exploration, we could get to work and make a difference. And I think we're right. We were in the right place at the right time and have 100% interest in the property.
You alluded to the rule of law and some of the factors I think that are very, very important, obviously, in successful projects. But can you talk a little bit about the infrastructure and the attitude towards mining that I think are very positive for your project, the Mexican Hat Project in Arizona?
Yeah, you bet. The Mexican Hat is located in a sparsely populated part of Cochise County in southeast Arizona. It's about 7 miles to the south of a little town called Pierce. There's an undeveloped gravel road passing through the property, a large number of drill roads, as a matter of fact, accessing much of the deposit, courtesy of its previous owners. Water is abundant, shallow on the property, and a power line servicing the ranch that parallel the gravel road is already there and established. In fact, there's a self-sustaining power plant that's only 10 miles away from where we are. Locals in the area, all important. They recognize the importance of economic replenishment and good jobs, and they've lived with mining in the area over a great number of years. In terms of permitting, you know, this is always a process, regardless of wherever one's developing. It's always a bit of a challenge, but we're good with that. You know, we uphold the importance of doing business the right way. In our situation, once we file a mining plan of operation, which is likely next year, we'll embark upon the environmental review at the federal level. And, you know, at its core, that protects the area and those that live nearby. So we're looking forward to meeting and exceeding the requirements at the permitting stage.
You have a resource there now. It's, I think, a little over maybe a half a million ounces. I don't think that your Mexican Hat project has really caught the imagination of investors yet to any great extent, because it's relatively low grade. But you and I know that grade, whilst it's important, it's not the only factor. The cost of getting it out of the ground is the bottom line. You know, what does it cost to produce an ounce of gold? And, of course, you're a ways away from any definitive economics yet, but there are some factors. Perhaps you could talk to us first about your resource you know, what some of the factors may be there that might bode well for the economic viability of the Mexican Hat.
Yeah, you bet. You know, we've got an existing inferred mineral resource of about 24 million tons, grading 0.7 grams per gold. It is open in all directions and to depth. Under our initial 43-101, you were right, we have 531,000 ounces of gold. But this is something that was set about a year and a half ago. Since then, we've been very actively drilling to expand in all directions at the Hat itself. The mineralization outcrops give us an excellent strip ratio to start with, 1.5 to 1. This is further improved by very high recoveries obtained in metallurgical work that we've done, both a column leach test as well as a number of bottle roll tests. And you know, our results have been spectacular. In the low to mid-90s in the bottle roll results, and the column leach, which in particular tested the lowest grade within our property to test run of mine, graded a 70% return. So, you know, these are excellent results, and you're quite right. It's not just a matter of dictating ounces in the ground. You have to be able to demonstrate in a low-grade open pit heap leach scenario that you can extract the rock in an economic fashion, and we really believe we'll be able to. The mineralization itself is fully oxidized to the deepest holes that we've done, 300 meters below the surface, and to date, there's no negative elements identified in any of the work. So from a metallurgical standpoint, I think we're in great shape.
Yeah, that's quite deep for oxidization, and so you have a low stripping ratio, good strong metallurgy, and run of mine, which means you don't have to crush it, spend a lot of money crushing the rock and all that. So, yeah, it looks really, really positive to me. You're drilling now. How much more of a program do you have, and when might we see some drill results?
Well, we plan to do about 30,000 feet of drilling. We're beyond halfway through that. We've just completed our initial three holes. We will move the drill rig in June and drill another approximately 9 holes on federal land, and then we're going to move up north and test there.
Yeah, you mentioned moving up north. I mean, when I look at your map of your property, the area where your half a million ounces and growing are focused is really what is known as the Mexican Hat area. But you've, I think, doubled your land space, and looking north, as you just mentioned, you're going to be moving the drill up north. You know, you've got several targets there: a porphyry, an epithermal, a silicified zone, an area there where Placer Dome did some drilling, and I guess got some reasonably good results in the past. So, what are your plans there now? So you're really moving up there. You've got a lot to shoot at there, don't you? Up that way.
We do, Jay. You know, when we started out, we really had our singular focus on the Mexican hat. But as we did some more background work and some area geophysics and looked at all the reports filed by previous operators back to Placer, it was just, you know, and it was low-hanging fruit. It was hard to not go out and grab some of the land that existed to the north of us. There are dozens of mineral deposits in the belt that hosts the Mexican hat. There's the Corton Gleason district to the south, in addition to Excelsior's Johnson Camp. And just to the north of us, the Commonwealth Mine in Pierce, which is a silver-gold property. You know, there's evidence of mineralization in all exposures on the hills, but there's a thin mantle of overburden, and the geophysics and the soil geochemistry has identified a number of gold mineralization targets that we think will be anomalous. One such target was what you just referenced, was tested earlier this year with a confirmation of structure, but unfortunately it had some lower grades, while another was drilled by Placer Dome up north in the 1990s. Offensive holes, roughly on this new land that we acquired, roughly 100 meters apart from each other. These encountered very good anomalous gold. Two of the holes, in fact, graded higher than our average grade at the Mexican Hat itself. So these are buried, as I say, under thin gravels and sands, and we think are geophysically interpreted as porphyry. So we're going to, in July, move the rig there and give a test to those up north and see what we can determine.
Ian, you're an exploration company. Can you take a minute or two to just talk about your plans, your business model, your people? Are you going to look to put this into production, or are you really looking to prove up a deposit that will gain the attention of some producers?
Sure.
What's your strategy?
That's a question I've heard from a number of people over the years. Yeah, you know, our focus first and foremost is to expand the tonnage and gold at the Mexican Hat. That's been our original goal, and it will be what we'll continue to do. We have 100% of the deposit, and thankfully have a treasury that allows us to advance that project from where we picked it up to where we're going to carry forward into 2018. We expect we'll, after drilling this season, we'll issue a new resource calculation in the early fall, and all things being equal, we'll have a preliminary economic assessment out within 4 months of that. So, you know, that being said, there has been an uptick in M&A activity in the industry, so the prospect, you know, does present itself as a possibility. If we were to get an offer that would make us blush, you know, we would take it to the shareholders.
One of the things that I find really attractive, with just a minute or so left here, Ian, you have a very tight share structure, and you know the bane to investors in this sector is always dilution. But you, with 35 million shares or something like that, how are you going to protect shareholders? I guess obviously with success through the drill bit, you're going to see higher share prices, and then if you need to raise more money, you can do it more efficiently. But could you talk just a minute about who owns your company? Who owns those? Are there any major shareholders that own a big chunk of that?
Yeah, no, we're fairly widely held for a company that only has 33 million shares issued. Mm-hmm. You know, we probably have half a dozen to 10 individual high net worth individuals that own seven figures. Mm-hmm. But, you know, none of them at the 10% threshold, and, you know, we're looking to go from a largely retail audience that we have right now following our story to, with a renewed calculation in the fall, moving into a little bit more of an institutional focus going forward.
All right. Well, we'll have to leave a go at that, Ian. Thank you very much. It's really, I think, a very promising story, and with a market cap of under $10 million in U.S. money. I think it's something people should really pay attention to. I have. I own it, and I'm telling my subscribers they should really pay attention to this story. It's sort of under the radar screen. Thanks for helping us know more about it, Ian, and we'll look to talk to you again sometime in the not-too-distant future.
My pleasure, Jay. Thanks very much.